Welcome, everybody, to Take 2 of the Nerd Watch this Tuesday, March, what is it, the 14th, 2017. We are the Nerd Watch. I, of course, am G-Money, and I am joined by several gentlemen that will be joining Ben Affleck in rehab, Todd Bernardi.
And in the house.
Todd Bernardi in the house, Gannon, Format, and the one and only Alika is in the house as well. He's here to anyway. Hey, we got a show going on over here.
Yeah, it's
we got a whole show going on.
St. Patrick's Day. Don't you celebrate St.
Is it St. Patrick's Day?
I think it's about. Well, it's
wait a minute.
Friday.
St. Patrick's Day is the 17th.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day is Friday.
Okay.
So that means they're potato famine.
Yeah, I guess. St. Patrick's Day. I mean, they don't celebrate St. Patrick.
Isn't that a thing? I think that's a thing.
And in your Christian faith?
I'm not Catholic.
As much as it serves as
I'm not Catholic.
Agenda.
Well, so they don't have saints?
What are you?
They're not what?
They don't have saints?
No.
Who
no.
licked what?
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. None of those.
Are you Gaelic?
Okay, again, who licked what?
You're such a dork. Anyway, joining me this evening on this Tuesday night, like I said, Todd Bernardi.
It's a loaded shillelagh.
Comic book extraordinaire, comic book artist extraordinaire. To his right is the one and only Gannon, the horror aficionado, and the man who is a punk rock superstar. Also joining us tonight is Format, the gaming guru, is with us tonight as well. And last but not least is the chairman of the comic book board, the man who couldn't join us last week because he was too busy stuffing his face with food. It is Alika. He's in the house as well.
Hey, what's up?
Joining us here.
I was too busy laughing because Chris Carvalho said, "Leave Todd alone. He's the Messiah." And my soul will be giggling for the next few days.
Yes.
Is this Michael McDonald looking guy over here?
I just call him GL. George.
Baby George.
Baby George. Anyway.
It probably was funnier in your head.
Anyway, gents.
I agree, because it wasn't funny out loud.
Baby George.
DJ says, "Oh my Todd."
Anyway, I want to welcome Facebook Live, YouTube, Akaku, all you guys for joining us. Facebook Live, you got any questions? Format will be monitoring the comments. We'll be talking to you guys. We'll be talking comic books, talking movies, talking some games. And, of course, you guys can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You can follow us on YouTube at NerdWatchNation. I'm putting up videos as quick as I can. Will you stop futzing around with your microphone? I can hear it now with these wonderful...
What?
I don't know who it was. You can also follow us on Twitter at NerdWatchNation, and you can follow us on Instagram at the_NerdWatch. And if you feel so compelled, you can donate to us on our Patreon page. Big ups to Travis and, of course, Brian for donating to the Patreon page, patreon.com/TheNerdWatch.
You didn't have to, but you did.
But you did, and we appreciate it very much.
You paid for our apple juice tonight.
By the way, your donation has bought me a new microphone cord that was ruined last week by Gannon. So,
What did you do to the microphone cord? The question is, what didn't I do?
What didn't want him to do.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen.
It's called flossing.
So, ladies and gents, it's been another week here. We've got
You put
Kong.
It in your mouth?
No, not my mouth.
Kong Skull Island was in theaters this week.
It's not inviting you to
guess. We got some exclusive HD digital movies that we got that I had a chance to watch. And Gannon. Once again, I got a pair of new headphones for the. That's why they're so big on my head right now, and I can hear everything with these things. It's ridiculous.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
I can also hear
Gannon breathing in the microphone.
He's the Darth Vader of the Nerd Watch.
It's through his nose. I can really hear it. Anyway, something like that.
Say, "I'm your father."
I'm your father.
Yeah.
That's exactly how Darth says it too. Yeah.
Say it like Bane.
Huh?
Say, "I'm your father," but say it like Bane.
No, don't.
I'm your father like Bane.
That's good. Joining us, by the way.
Who's on first?
Joining us behind the camera, of course, is comic book henchman Swan. And, of course, Kai. He is the...
Mr. Hollywood.
Yeah, Rhodey, who I had to chastise this evening for... plugging the wrong...
While you were scolding him, I'm like, gee, you barely qualify as an adult. It sounds so weird to hear you scold somebody.
I didn't scold him. It was fine.
Kai, you put the wire in the wrong plug.
Saying it's partially my fault.
You put the
too.
Jack in the wrong hole.
Yeah, but
hole.
You told him to go sit in the corner. That's not cool. Nobody puts.
You told him to take his shirt off and stand in the corner.
You put the plug in the wrong hole.
Hey,
that's what happened.
You can't say that on Facebook Live.
I totally did.
You also can't say it on Kai.
Yeah, apparently not. I do want to let you guys know.
My grandfather used to always say, in the Navy, there is no wrong hole.
Was your grandfather in the Navy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet he was.
You guys are idiots.
I think that they should put that on a recruitment banner.
You guys are dumb.
No?
All right, listen.
You said it's not.
We got some stuff to talk about, but first, just like anything else, we do want to get to Alika, talk about New Comic Book Wednesday.
Let's get to him.
Which he was not prepared for because he's too busy playing with his Switch with both hands.
Legend of Zelda Halitosis.
Finish. Go ahead. Go ahead. Just go ahead,
yeah,
Todd.
Just say this little just clever thing that you had to say. We all want to hear it. It's cute. Come on. Let's hear it.
Let's go ahead.
Did you?
Jesus says...
Did you print your list?
No, he didn't.
I'm not a printer.
That was all I wanted to know. I wasn't trying to interrupt
Jesus
anybody.
Say better things.
I bet you had something cute to say until we called you on it.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
No, but now I'm going to think
that
of
that was
something.
A riveting question in the middle of the pod, by the way.
You're welcome. Hey, whoa. Hey, stop. It? Everybody stop. Did you print your list?
I will say this. You probably would have ink if the Switch wasn't here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of things happening if the Switch wasn't here. Like, I'd be paying attention to you.
That's right. Yeah. Of course, he's playing a Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild as we're here. As you guys
see, we need Ashley
Live.
To come in and like take it away from you.
Don't call her, please.
He's like, she doesn't even know I have it.
She has taken it away from me.
And then
crazy.
I found it and I snuck it out of her closet.
Anyway, right here at 333 Dairy Road in Kahului is a small business which does which is comic books, and if you'd like to buy comic books here at 333 Dairy Road in Kahului, it is Maui Comics and Collectibles.
Come down and see Swan.
Yeah,
because the league is too busy with the
pretty much.
Yeah. Talk to Swan if you want for all your comic book needs. He'll be more than happy to help you. But we do want to let you guys know that if you don't know by now, every Tuesday is 20% off Tuesday, or what Todd likes to call Todd's 20% off Tuesday. And then
where's it Todd's? He's barely allowed in here. The thing I want to say about 20% Tuesday, it includes all off the rack new stock because we're trying to clear the rack for Wednesday. We want to let everybody know that if you're a subscriber, we give you 10% off no matter what.
Nice, nice.
So if I'm a subscriber, can I get 30% off?
No.
Because you got 10%
and you
get 20%.
You actually have to pay 10% extra.
Oh, okay.
You want to push for more?
Yeah.
Keep talking.
Okay. God, you're grumpy.
Only towards you.
And, of course, every Wednesday is New Comic Book Wednesday here at Maui Comics and Collectibles.
Why do they call it New Comic Book Wednesday?
That's because every Wednesday there are new comics that hit the store.
Oh, okay.
So you guys can check them out here at 333 Dairy Road if you happen to be in the Kahului area on the lovely island of Maui. Well, right now let's check in with Alika, the chairman of the Comic Book Board, and find out what's brand new in comic books this week at Maui Comics and Collectibles.
This week we've got All-Star Batman number 8.
Oh yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man number 25, including the Venomized variant.
Ooh.
Everyone's going crazy for.
Nice.
Aquaman number 19, Batman 19, Batwoman number 1.
Batwoman number 1.
Woo woman. Black Panther World of Wakanda number 5. I don't know.
Did you say Black Panther Wonderful Condom?
World of Wakanda.
Oh.
What?
What is on your mind?
I almost bought that book until you told me the real title.
Let's play a game of telephone.
Yeah, that's what I thought you said.
Is it a Magnum?
It is Black Panther, so obviously it is.
Captain America Sam Wilson number 20.
They don't call it Magnum.
Cave Carson number 6. Cody and the Creepers number 1. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, but you ordered it because you were like, yeah, Creepers.
I actually want that book.
Well, that's yours. Daredevil number 18.
Ooh,
new action figures. DC designer bombshells.
Ooh. Oh, you're getting those? Okay,
I sure am.
I want Poison Ivy. I'm very excited about
that.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I love that whole art design. Okay. That artist, he actually was at the last Amazing.
Aunt Lucia.
Yeah, Aunt Lucia.
Oh, okay.
He's the artist behind the DC Bombshells, which are wildly
popular. I love all of his work.
Nice.
We've got Deadpool the Duck 505.
Deadpool what?
Deadpool the Duck 505.
Oh, Deadpool the Duck.
Howard the Duck is a Deadpool some reason.
Yeah, it's like Gwynpool with a venomized variant.
Yeah.
They're trying to like...
Here we go.
It's like when you're making like dough, and that's then you start thing, folding though. In ingredients.
That was a thing like a long time ago. I'm surprised you bring it up now.
Would it be Venpool?
See, well, here's
no,
the thing.
It's Gwynpool.
Now that if Chris...
it's venomized...
Then it's Gwynum.
Yeah. It's Gwynum.
But if there's... Okay, but
it's a pool. It's a pool of Gwynum. Mm-hmm. It's a pool of Gwynum.
That's complicated.
Right.
See, but now Todd has all his defenders. Chris Carvalho is here. Brian Revel is here. So...
Right.
They're only doing this as a joke. They don't really like him.
Hello to Amy and Kamiki.
Woo! What's up?
Yeah.
We've also got Guardians of the Green Lantern's number 19. Green Arrow number 19. Guardians of the Galaxy 18. Harley Quinn number 16.
Harley.
You forgot God's Country.
Totally did, didn't I?
Todd's Country?
God's Country number 3.
Todd's Country.
Where there's no O in Country.
Which is very popular. God's Country is super popular right now. Invincible 134, which I heard is ending pretty soon. I think that's 135 funny. Is the last issue. Justice League number 17.
Yeah.
Let's see. Lucifer. Anybody reads that? A couple Travis. People do. Travis. Mighty Morphin.
How's that show, by the way? I
loved it. The only reason I fell off is because there's so many other things that I'm watching right now, but I'm sure it still is good. Okay. I didn't stop watching because of the quality or anything.
He stopped watching because he's got the
Switch. I
totally
got lost after God's Country.
I'm not going back.
The Lucifer show?
Oh, okay, yeah. I didn't watch it.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 13. Let's see.
Go, Power Rangers!
Monsters Unleashed 505.
I don't know what that was, but don't.
Power Rangers!
Neil Gaiman, American Gods.
Okay, it's
Shadows.
It's Gaiman.
Neil Gaiman. Whoever that is.
So when is
all of a sudden he's Asian?
That American Gods is actually premiering on Starz pretty soon, isn't it?
Pretty soon, yeah. Let's see, Nightwing 17.
Hang on a second. American Gods was a novel, right?
Yeah.
And now he's turning it into a graphic novel. Is that correct?
Yeah,
you are correct, sir.
Okay.
But he's always had that crossover, because he's been a comic artist and writer and a great novelist.
Gotcha. Hell of a kisser.
You don't know that.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Patsy Hellcat Sandman. Number 16. Patsy Walker Hellcat number 16. Punisher number 10. Let's see, what else? Sex Criminals number 17 with a XXX Gino Winderbrandt variant.
I heard what their calling cards are. Like, they go rob a bank and then... Never mind.
Let's not get into it.
Let's not get into it.
Spider-Man number 14. It's adult themes. That's all you need to know is that it's adult themes.
It's called Sex Criminals.
Yeah, let people be surprised.
They wouldn't be surprised. It's crime and sex. Spook House number 3 by Eric Powell. That's coming out tomorrow.
Swan just had a seizure.
It's incredible art. It's Hillbilly blew up, and this is all by this is his own publishing company.
Albatross.
He brought that back from the dead, and now he's launching all these Eric Powell titles, and Eric Powell's incredible, so just showing what independent artists can do when they put their mind to it and aren't on their phone all day, Todd.
Wow, somebody just got called out.
Right?
How dare you?
Superman number 19.
Wow.
Sorry, you want all
Siegel
my...
and Schuster went on their phone all day.
You want me to give you...
They didn't have a phone back
They're holding a longer phone.
Sorry, Siegel and...
was outside for a minute.
They weren't on their telegraph machine all day?
That's because Siegel and Schuster were too busy plowing the fields.
In New York, they're from Brooklyn.
They live in a city, you dork.
They're from Cleveland.
Oh, did they?
There was fields in Brooklyn.
They were two Jewish guys.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. They were too busy working in the bakery. I don't know, maybe.
Wow. I would have said, you know... Well,
totally awesome Hulk. Number whatever.
Totally
number 17. The Trinity, of course, number 7. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman.
Cody and the Creepers is about a female punk band.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to read about.
So it's like an indie Gem and the Holograms. Gotcha. Moving on.
Uncanny X-Men number 19. Vampirilla number 1. There's a new Vampirilla out.
Vampirilla.
There's a new Vampirilla every 3 months, though.
There is, yeah.
It feels like there's Vampirilla number 1 every year.
Stop stealing Vampy's thunder, man. Let's try now.
Yeah, Vampirella.
I don't have an issue with Vampirella.
Hey, Vampirella can do it if Batman can do it.
Her, yeah. Her and Red Sonja are neck and neck for number ones every few months.
Yeah, that's true. Red Sonja has a lot.
Yeah.
Wildstorm, number two.
Okay.
I would watch them, Nick.
They should have a scissor off.
No, they shouldn't. Wonder Woman.
Can we stick to the list, please?
77 scissor. With Bionic Woman, number 3 of 6.
Nice.
More necking.
And Venom, number 5, is also coming out.
Yeah!
And that's all you fools get.
Wait, Bionic Woman?
Nope, that's all. Nope.
Wonder Woman. Keep talking.
Wonder Woman v. Bionic Woman.
I was speaking with...
I like that V.
Right?
A person.
I was speaking with a comic book... owner in New Jersey, and they were talking about how...
Don't name names.
How they were talking about... well, I'm going to give them a shout-out. Third Earth Comics, really cool name. But I was talking to him.
Do you even know what that's a reference to?
Yes, but...
No, you don't.
He was talking to me
what
about how, like, I guess...
We're going
to
test you right now.
I guess the guys who distribute the comics they're in a bit of a lawsuit for because of some Comic-Con tickets or something.
What?
Yeah.
Diamond Distribution?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I highly doubt that.
I think you've got some steps.
Because Diamond owns everything.
Well, no, but I mean they.
Yeah, they would just eat you whole.
That's what I'm saying. But apparently they were like there was some issue with like
Diamond's
sold.
Like the mafia. They own.
I know. That's what I mean.
And
so.
Diamond doesn't involve themselves with conventions either.
Yeah, so
you can't might have been sue. The
I don't know. That's
or
what
you
I heard.
Not listen, right?
You can't sue the mafia.
No.
I like that. Anyway, you can get all those comics here. Even the ones that Alika didn't want to order. Here at 333.
Even the ones that he forgot to order.
In Kahului. So if you're looking for new comics, independent comics, mainstream comics, whatever you're looking for, it's at 333 Dairy Road in Kahului. And also, you can also get local artist comics as well, just like Todd Bernardi's Kukui Project.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Or DJ Cavicani's Exilian.
And
or the latest issue of New Wave Chicken that I just noticed today.
Yeah, New Wave Chicken by Steve Hart.
Brian Revel's book is in here as well. Chris Carvalho
is in here.
Chris Carvalho's book is in here as well.
We're out of Chris's book right now.
Are
so
you really?
Chris, since you're listening, we need some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's very in demand.
Yeah, Chris, get on that, man.
What the?
Anyway, you can check out some local artists as well. Some very talented local artists.
Speaking of Brian Revel,
yeah,
be sure to jump on his Kickstarters and get those books going.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
For issue 4 of Amakua is coming out. The Kickstarter is up now. So
very
if you
cool.
want to, if you want,
yeah, that just went live. Wait, yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, a couple days ago.
Yeah.
So if you want to jump on that, but also Brian Revel's got 2 Kickstarters: one for We Kill the Dead and one for The Unseen. I think
that's correct, sir. The Unseen.
So a lot of Kickstarters to go support if you like local.
Is comics. This where I say? So what are you doing, Todd? No, sorry.
Where's your Kickstarter, Todd?
I haven't.
He's on his phone.
I haven't done Kickstarter yet, for comics.
And to be quite honest, I think Todd, you are...
Well, you, hey, look, and this know. Is something that I wanted to bring up because DJ brought
you.
This up. This has to do with the distribution. It's because I read this article. There's Emerald Comics is trying to throw their hat in the ring with Diamond Comics. And when I saw the headline of that article, I was like, that's awesome. Because
competition.
Competition.
And they're both named after precious gems.
But when I read the article... It's not. They're not going up against Diamond. They're going to be a distributor for independent comics.
Oh, no.
Small press and indie comics.
Ooh. Uh-oh.
So they're not going up against Diamond. They're doing something that Diamond isn't doing. So Diamond is still the monopoly in town. They're not going to affect how Diamond treats its customers or anybody for that matter. Diamond is still like this. And I would have loved if there was anybody in the world, but there's no way at this point in the game that anybody could start a distribution company and compete with Diamond.
But think about
there's
this.
No way.
But on the flip side of that,
yeah.
there's strong support for the indie comics.
That's what I was just about to say.
Well, see, I love it's good news that Emerald Comics is being created and there's a distribution hub for independent comics that can't meet the minimum print run requirements of Diamond or go through, you know, this crazy process of getting a catalog out 2 months in advance and waiting for all those to sell and then waiting for your book to sell. You know, that stuff is horrible on small press and independent comic creators. I agree. But from a comic store standpoint, from a retailer, that does nothing for me. You know what I mean? Because I deal with local comics locally. The guys who want me to sell their local comics locally, the only thing it's going to do for people who enjoy independent comics is, like, if someone walks into the store and is like, what's going on in New York right now? But nobody really does that. They're like, I want some Hawaii local independent comics. So, I mean, Emerald is a, it's a move in the right direction for independent comics. It shows there's demand. But it's not going to change the market in any way.
Can we do that? Is there a way, to, like, we could do that?
What's that?
Start up a distribution thing?
Man, that is a...
Know,
that
pick
is
another a- precious gemstone, like a, you know, cubic zirconia distribution.
No, we'll be no? Ruby. Ruby.
No,
distribution.
No.
Swarovski distributors.
Yeah, there you go. People will come to us thinking we sell gemstones, and we're like, who wants the latest DC something something?
Well, it's an interesting concept for Emerald to do that. I'm just wondering if it's going to be structured the way Image was structured, where the...
Well, it's not a publishing company. It's distribution.
It's just, right, but what I'm saying is, it's like, I wonder how much, I should say, as in what they're asking for in return.
Money.
Nothing. I mean, they're a distributor, so...
I imagine they want money.
I'm sure.
They're going to ask the people to provide their comics. They don't even print. You know, Diamond doesn't print comics.
Right.
They are strictly a distributor, so
right.
You have to bring your printed comics to them. They'll distribute it to stores via a catalog and get it more attention nationwide, which is good for the independent creators. It helps to spread that.
I wonder what their cut's going to be.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm asking for the cut.
I mean, that's neither here nor there. 30, like whatever
30%
you
is dime, like 33%.
Yeah, but
percent
the
is
thing is,
cut.
The internet exists. So if you want to circumvent Emerald Comics, as nobody needs them right now, who's doing independent comics?
Right.
So it's. I don't think it's going to be a bad thing for them to exist. I think it's good in general that something like that is around.
And they're going to take out Marvel and DC Diamond.
I just feel like every time a new anything comes up in the comic book industry, I just flash back to when Ultraverse happened.
Yeah.
Because Ultraverse is supposed
to
be...
compared to Ultraverse.
No, but that was supposed to be the big thing that was going to compete against the big comic companies. And they
but
were
all
gonna
of them
be,
always are.
And they were going to last forever, and they were attracting all this talent, and then within a couple of years they folded and sold off to Marvel.
The comic industry has small publishers. That's a publisher, Ultraverse. Publishers that pop up all the time that claim to be able to do that. Like, in the 80s, there were people who weren't satisfied with the quality of the writing, so Eagle Comics... was invented, and then that's where Judge Dredd, of course, in 2080, and a lot of great comics came out of creators, writers, and everything. But you know they can't compete with anybody. Same like Atlas, which is in the 80s revived the old title of Atlas from the 50s, and had people like Neil Adams and other, you know, incredible veteran writers and artists, or Valiant or anything like that.
Eclipse,
all of these, or Comico, or whatever you want to, like, any of these independent titles that are meant to compete with the big ones, they all find themselves, the ones that succeed have to do a certain thing, and that's buy up licensed properties to stay afloat. Because nobody, all new titles, except for in the rare case of Image, they were born in the right time, that everybody wanted new radical concepts. That we're all kind of similar, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, the publishers at Marvel were like, yeah, you guys can totally leave, because the reason that you're selling all millions of comics is because you're drawing Spider-Man, not because of the way you draw Spider-Man.
Exactly.
So Image proved them wrong, because Todd McFarlane started drawing a different book.
And he said, it is the way I draw.
And it is the way that he draws. So, like, the audience will... They demonstrated for the first time in comic books that the audience isn't just with a character. It's also with the creative... the creators behind the character.
Yeah. You artists think you're creators or something. It's weird. Yeah.
I think you just killed
them. You got to really...
That's why
I guess, like Todd McFarlane. But Todd established himself as a creator first.
Well,
Todd McFarlane did not.
Using that creator word a little lightly, but creator...
Yeah, let's not throw that around. Let's not give that... There's a lot of weight with that whole creator
thing.
DJ wants to call in
so bad. Anyway, we're boring the nerds with all this comic book jargon talk.
This is the nerd one.
Before we get too carried away, though, and since we were on the subject of Kickstarters
earlier.
Since I am the horror aficionado,
yes, sir.
There is an Indiegogo for...
That's not Kickstarter.
It's not, but it's similar. Behind the Mask, they're doing...
What?
The creators of Behind the Mask.
Yeah.
They started an Indiegogo. What they're going to be doing... is they were trying to get a sequel off the ground a few years ago.
Right.
They couldn't get the money together.
Right.
So what they're going to do instead is that they're going to basically take that script and turn it into a comic book.
No way!
So if you go on their Indiegogo... Cool. Yeah, so if you go on their Indiegogo... And essentially the idea is to try and drum up...
Oh, shit.
No, DJ. Let me get through my spiel first.
Yeah, you get through your spiel first.
But anyway, so he, the idea is to drum up enough attention to that story that they can hopefully actually get more attention and finance to do the film.
That's really
so
cool.
So if you go on Indiegogo and look for Behind the Mask, you'll actually find the Indiegogo where you can support it and actually get the book.
Behind the Mask
That's
is one of those.
Cowboys and Aliens.
I mean, other than myself and Gannon, has
I
anybody
actually
seen Behind the Mask?
I actually did a screening for that about 5 or 6 years ago.
Behind the Mask is one of those rare indie horror movies that actually was very good. When I say that, like it garnered a lot more publicity than
it
most.
It did the same thing that Scream did, where it ascended up the genre.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It found a different, clever way to go about it.
I don't think
Scream
I've ever
did.
Seen it.
Yeah,
it's actually really good.
It's really good.
I saw, I'm Your Father. That was the Darth Vader one.
Oh. With David well, Rose. Guys, we got a caller. And I want to hear his opinion. This is DJ Cavicani.
All right.
Caller, you're on the air.
Caller, you're on the air.
And you
from Manitoba,
something to say on the
you gotta put
the
that
topic of,
put that mic right on
the topic
thing.
Of independent comics.
Is it DJ?
It's DJ.
All right, DJ from Big Island. All right.
Chris wants to let you guys know that Emerald Comics girl. She spoke. Anyway, she did the article. It's online. You guys can find. I'll find the link later. But she was just saying that she wanted to start off small. And start off in the Seattle area, and then she was going to see if that works. And according to that article, she's not going to charge anything for what she does there, but that could change. And I don't know the details of everything else, but I don't know. Just being a creator myself, it's kind of frustrating when you get to go through Diamond, and Diamond is the only way you can get in, and it sucks. And God knows, and all the little guys know, but I just wanted to call you guys up and say, what's up?
Hey,
well, aren't you relieved that there's going to be an independent comics distributor, at least? If you wanted to go that way, you could?
Yes.
And if you don't know, DJ Cavicani, let me clarify. DJ Cavicani is a Big Island guy.
The girl who's doing it is also, she's an independent artist herself, so she knows the struggles, and she wants to help bridge the gap, because she's seeing the things that we're all seeing, and that nobody's helping the independent guys. And the independent guys kind of, you know, it's either you make it or you don't, and then you get stuck at the bottom. And so she's trying to bridge that gap. I forget what her name is, but at least somebody is looking through that and looking into that and trying to help the little guys.
Fantastic.
Well, the thing is, when you know, when you're dealing with a monopoly like Diamond, everybody who deals with them is from the people who sell them comics to the, you know, to the people who sell the comics for them. Everybody who deals firsthand with Diamond Comics is going to suffer because they're a monopoly and they don't have any market. They don't have any market incentive to treat you any better than they are or ever. So it's good that Emerald Comics is setting up to help the small guys get their books out there.
Yeah.
But what's going on for us retailers? Where's the guy who's going to help us out? You know what I mean? Like, we need that, too.
For sure. And it does...
Yeah, I mean, I cannot speak to the retailer end because... And that sucks. I mean, like... and I always talk to Brian and Mike and try and get their opinion and everything like that. And I think that would have to come from I mean, for me... I would say, too, like, the retail guys, now is the time to talk to that girl at Emerald Comics and reach out to her, because the comics community is so small. And so, like, if you talk to her and say, you know, like, just give her your concerns, she would be open and willing to, like, at least hear and take into consideration what you have to say. And then maybe, you know what I mean? Because
That's what's exciting about a new company is just they're accessible, which Diamond
is
quite the opposite.
Right, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, I would say just try to reach out to her and see what would happen.
Oh, yeah.
I'm probably going to, but I'm not ready yet. But.
You're ready, man.
Well, listen, can DJ hear me?
Yeah, DJ can hear.
Well, DJ, of course, Big Island local artist, does Exilion. He's working with Format on a comic as well. So they're working together. That's a thing. DJ is a local comic book artist, part of the Comic Book Alliance, along with Tar Bernardi and guys like Sam Campos and Chris Carvalho. So Chris Lohman.
I think there's another Chris in there.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys in there. So it's very cool that Emerald is trying to put something together. Hopefully, it works out for them. So I would suggest you guys get as much info as possible.
If everybody could do us a favor and send their thoughts and prayers to Emerald Comics.
There you go.
I heard those help a lot.
Hey, thanks, DJ. Appreciate it, buddy.
One night equals one prayer.
That's insane. All right, so I guess we're officially taking phone calls on the
Redwatch.
It's fun. I think we're officially taking phone calls from now on.
If anybody,
an actual phone call thing.
I know. I wish I had what they call a Gettner, and I could actually go through it so y'all can listen. It'd be fun.
A Gettner?
A Gettner. Yeah, I can say that on the podcast.
I was trying to get in her last night.
Stop it. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, want to get to some more stuff. If you can't believe it, we've only got about 25 minutes left.
And we barely talked about anything.
Exactly. So let's get right to it. First of all, since I'm trying to get Alika's attention before he gets back into Legend of the
Breath of the Wild.
Another phone call.
Yeah, really.
Here's Louise from Manitoba, Canada.
Since Alika wasn't here last week, let's really quickly shift gears and get his thoughts on Logan, and see what he thought of the film. DJ, by the way,
didn't
loved
he call
it.
Us about that?
DJ did love it.
No, he didn't.
Called us about the Nintendo.
He called us about the Switch.
Oh. He didn't call us about the Logan.
I wish I could have called it about the Logan stuff.
Is that good?
Wow, no, that's horrible. Terrible. Stop it. It's unprofessional. Anyway, go ahead.
Alika, how dare you?
Alika, what did you think of Logan?
It was a good movie,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a good X-Men movie.
Oh, here we go.
Why did you even ask him? What did you think he was going to say?
You know he was going to say this.
True. So
I could have said what he was going to say.
All right, so what? Okay, so
because they didn't do anything to change. I mean, they were resting the entire storyline on continuities that don't
make
sense.
Let's talk about what you liked first.
What I did like, of course, same thing everybody liked. The girl who played X-23, the action, the fact you actually saw limbs and stuff falling off and stuff. That was great.
He did stab somebody in the face. That was pretty cool.
He did stab many people in the face.
In slow motion.
It was great. Mm-hmm. I loved
slow motion even, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, everything was shaking.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. So what else did you like other than the girl? Anything story-wise? Did you like anything story-wise about it? Or
no. The thing about these Fox X-Men movies is the storytelling is terrible.
I mean, it's not. It's
bad.
Well, Logan wasn't as good as Age of Apocalypse, but come on.
It was better than Age of Apocalypse, actually.
Let's give it a break.
You guys, whatever. I'm going to spoil stuff right now because you already reviewed it.
We already did.
It's already been out for a few weeks. If you haven't seen it yet, it's on you.
Old Man Logan, by far.
But the thing is, the things I hate about it are also the things I liked about it. Because
Fox.
Ugh. Yeah. If I watch it as not an X-Men movie, then whatever. But it's like, you know, like X-24. That was terrible. Why?
That's what I said.
That's what.
Yeah, I agreed with you when I was listening to the pod. But the other thing is, I like that. I liked having a younger Savage Wolverine facing the old fart Wolverine, and that was a cool. Him looking in the mirror thing. But you're right. He didn't go anywhere with that. He didn't create any deeper epiphany with it. But it was still cool metal-on-metal, crazy action.
I think I said it. Superman 3 made better use of that idea than the entire movie of Logan.
Right.
Okay.
Don't tell me what happened in Superman 3. I'm going to watch it. I haven't seen it.
It's like the best Chris Reeve Superman movie.
He's saying Logan versus Old Man Logan. That's the other thing. The only thing Old Man Logan about this movie was the way Logan looked. There's zero from the Old Man Logan storylines in here. And there are three alternate versions of Old Man Logan right now, and none of them were referenced for this.
And I think that was just based on the fact that that the X-Men universe in Fox's era has already been established, so they had to stick with that. And, I mean, the fact that we obviously, instead of Wolverine killing all the X-Men, it was Xavier killing all the X-Men.
Talk about something that takes you out of a movie more than anything is having to consider a studio's legal rights over characters. Like, you know, with Marvel, you've got it's fun. You know, whatever. And you can consider that stuff without having it taking you out of it. But these X-Men movies are terrible. So then you're thinking, this is terrible because these guys couldn't afford the characters that I want to be in this movie. You know what I mean? Like, the Hulk is supposed to be a big part of Old Man Logan.
They should just just let Roger Corman direct it.
Stop it. He already did Fantastic Four, and that was a flop.
What do you mean? That's
never
a
got released.
Did Corman direct Fantastic Four?
Yes, the first just one.
The very first one in the 90s.
Sure. He didn't. I don't think he directed it.
Sure?
I think that he just
Double check that. Let me see who directed it. See who directed that piece of garbage.
I'm pretty sure it was
Roger Corman's
company.
Fantastic Four.
That's, it is,
but I don't know.
Well, because it's production company, but he didn't actually direct everything.
He produced it. I don't think directed.
All right, we'll see.
I just watched that documentary.
I'm going to fact
pretty good.
Check
back
right
Roger Corman's World?
Yeah. No, it was...
We don't have to hang here.
It was only about the Fantastic Four.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
We're still going to talk about Fantastic Four, man.
Yeah. So anyway, Logan.
Here we go.
Another phone call.
Look what you guys started.
Jeez, here we go. Who's
it
this?
It was directed by Oli Sassone.
Screen it.
Yeah, if you didn't catch that, the director of the Corman Fantastic Four was Oli Sassone.
So,
really?
He was the guy that got...
Let's get back
to
Logan.
Let's get back to the point.
Just finish this up real quick. And, you know, yeah, the comic books were a great device. When you saw them in the commercial, everybody knew groaned because they're like, oh, they're going to kick us in the balls over not having costumes again, which they didn't do. It was a plot point. I agree with you. But it was still not, even though it wasn't a conscious kick to the balls, it was still a kick to the balls. You're like, they're referencing continuity that wasn't there, or we don't know what continuity is referencing because none of the actual continuity in the movies makes sense.
Exist, right.
They don't make sense
I don't know.
Any form.
X3 is pretty coherent.
I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm one of those guys that think that
Famke Johnson dies. So now Sophie Turner's Jean Grey. That makes sense.
Sophie Turner's Jean Grey before Famke Johnson.
Oh, now I'm confused.
Well, of course you are.
Because it's crap.
To be fair, the X-Men continuity is not any more confusing than the Terminator continuity.
Yeah, but I'm not a fan of the Terminator. I didn't read Terminator comics growing up. I didn't watch the Terminator Saturday morning cartoon.
Okay, but I probably had this argument with you before. You do know the movies aren't the comics.
Yes, I do, but tell somebody at Marvel Disney that because they know where to make their money and they know how to make it legendary.
But the Marvel movies...
I'm sick of people telling me to be pragmatic about a comic book movie. No, this is the joy in my life. I don't have to be pragmatic
about
a studio taking what I love
and
ruining
the comics either.
Huh?
The Marvel comic movies are not the comics either.
Because they gave us costumes. I will forgive any story tweak they want to do to fit into an hour and a half movie.
No,
that
but
can be forgiven.
Wow. So did the Fantastic Four movies gave us the costumes, too.
That's true.
I like those two.
Yeah.
The License of the Silver Surfer and the other one.
Yeah.
I was not a hater.
I like the License
of the
Silver
Surfer.
They had costumes.
They had costumes. The Silver Surfer was in there. That's good enough for me.
They made it for everything.
It really did.
I don't think
they were that bad.
It was.
They were not as bad as any Fox X-Men movies.
Jessica Alba is a scientist. Of course. She has a costume. Of course she's a scientist.
The Pink Cloud Galactus.
Yeah,
that was, of course,
Pink
a fail.
Cloud Galactus,
obviously.
Perfect.
Yeah,
no,
it
wasn't perfect. But the costumes were great. And the fact that they gave it made me more forgiving to any other
problem
in the movie.
I actually agree.
But they didn't do that in the X-Men. And they even kicked us in the balls the first X-Men movie out and made fun of the costumes. And that's when I was like, this is how it's going to be?
Wow.
And they never got rebooted in 20 years of how terrible they were. They never got rebooted. They rebooted Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. They rebooted the Batmans, you know what I mean? The Christopher Nolan Batmans. And those were great. Those were legend.
The reboot?
Huh?
Days of Future Past. Wouldn't that
but
the reboot?
But it's not, no, because if you use the
first
same cast
class
members.
Is the reboot.
If you use the
oh,
same
First
cast
Class
members,
is the reboot.
If you use
yeah,
the same
first
cast
class
members
is
and the
reboot.
Same writers and the same garbage sense of continuity, then it's not a reboot. It's just us trying to clean up the vomit that we left on the floor.
Okay.
I didn't vomit on the floor.
To be fair,
for the record,
totally.
To be fair to this movie,
I don't
though,
do that.
To be fair to this movie, Logan is the only film that you could walk in, never have seen any other X-Men film.
That's not true.
Never. And you would have been.
You can enjoy it, but you're going to miss
you
a lot
can enjoy,
of it.
You
and like
can
I
watch
said,
the first X-Men movie and not see you know, every.
No, very true. But that's why I think Logan is so special because it's not a good comic book movie. It's a good movie.
It's
that's
a good movie.
Thing.
I'll agree with you there.
Yeah.
But not really a good movie because there's so many cliche.
It was
it's so good, but it's not good.
It's good to watch, but it's not original. It's not well written.
Wow.
It's not the plot points are not you know anything spectacular.
I see the one place where I would agree with Alika because that movie is strong on the surface, but the underpinnings.
If you start looking at everything, you're like, oh, a clone of me who's younger?
Well, listen.
That movie does, like I said before, that movie falls on a lot of tropes in something that's supposed to transcend.
And very true, but you never have, and I tell you what, when Xavier is laying in that bed and he's got that comfort for that one night and that little speech he gives, so powerful.
So that one scene
locked it in for me.
That was it.
You know why?
It
because
could have been just that scene in the theater.
The X-Men.
And you would have walked out and been five stars.
Hold on. That, are you talking about the farmhouse dinner?
I'm talking the farmhouse dinner.
The fact that even happened is what makes me kind of want to throw up. That's another plot point. It's like they meet the nice, well, unassuming farmer family, and of course they go home with him and get him killed. Why wouldn't they?
Right. Well, like I said, it wasn't about them getting killed. It was about for
you knew
one,
they were getting killed the second
right,
you saw him help
exactly.
Them.
And the whole point was is that it was about them being
their last taste of
normal
humanity before
for
everything
humanity
goes.
Before everything
sure,
goes to
yeah,
crap.
Whatever.
And also the
they could have did that in the tank.
The final scene where X-23 is killed. Down there, knowing that he's going to die. And she grabs his hand, and when he says, "So that's what that feels like," that got me, man.
I'm not saying it didn't hit emotional notes, man, like it was designed to. That's why they pick those situations. And
I really like the way that, Wolverine, as indestructible as he is, the thing that where he meets his doom is a log.
Yeah, he's made of adamantium, and a log goes through him.
And this doesn't make sense
because the log protrudes through his adamantium ribcage.
And this is why I'm saying. And this is why I'm saying that we know that wouldn't have killed him. My point was is that he wants to die. That's the thing. Is that
whatever. Philosophically, he's depressed. He's sick of living. Whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
But the way it went down was garbage, and he shouldn't have died.
And
Professor X dying was garbage too.
There was no. But you don't know why. But you don't.
It was garbage.
It was good, but it was garbage.
This movie was garbage, but it wasn't bad.
It's like going to McDonald's. I love it, but I feel like crap afterwards.
God.
If that's the point, he wants to die, and that's what resonates with you with this character.
It kind of does.
There's nothing within the story that points to why he wants to die specifically. Like there's no flashbacks. There's no.
No. I think it's for me.
You don't know who James Howlett is.
For me, a lot of that is implied because during this whole conversation and him knowing Xavier.
So you created a movie that takes place outside of the movie that fills in all the gaps that this movie had.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that all of the... this is all implied where he's like,
You're just saying it's implied.
No.
You
like,
created these scenes in your head.
No.
To fill in the spots that aren't in the movie.
No, this is what I'm trying to explain to you. The implications for me were when he's standing there going, I don't want to help this girl. I don't want to be done with it. The moment that he walks out of when they get found in the beginning of the film, and he says, "Leave her there. We've got to go." He doesn't want anything to do with it. He just wants to go.
So you know,
your
big payoff is over an hour and a half when he starts to like the girl.
My big payoff was the fact that there was so much tension between them, and they shared some pretty intense scenes.
There was this tension in both of their lives, and then they both stopped paying attention to it and started appreciating each other. That's all that.
Right.
There's nothing nuanced, nothing crazy good.
No, but the fact is,
it was satisfying to see it happen.
It wasn't for me. She was really good in it, but for me, she was great.
Right. Yeah, she's incredible. I'm not trying to take anything away from her. She's the shining star.
It was about Logan, though, for me, was that
half a movie of being mute,
consistently being.
It's going off in Spanish like crazy.
When he's consistent, his consistent reluctancy to do anything, knowing that he's a hero, is a really interesting concept. Like we know that he's a hero. We know that. But the fact is that he doesn't want anything to do with this anymore.
He's never wanted anything to do with it.
Right, exactly. But it becomes, because we know what he is in the movies, it becomes completely disheartening for a person that has watched those movies. So when you're watching it, it's almost slogged through those movies. It's almost sad. It's almost sad going that he's lost this ability to kind of go, this is wrong, and this is... And then there's the scene of redemption for him where he finally goes and helps and saves the kids, and that was his last act of redemption.
Okay,
and
here's the other big continuity problem.
Fast again.
Right.
The big continuity thing that is really... And because every X-Men thing you watch, you know that Fox is always leaving fun little breadcrumbs to the next thing they're going to do, because it's going to be so great and awesome, guys. Fox is so respectful with any X property they handle. they, you know, they teased both the New Mutants and X-Force, both of which have been confirmed to be in production in some form.
Wow.
In TV shows or movies or
whatever. Oh, yeah, the TV show's happening, yeah.
The TV show for New Mutants is happening, yep. And X-Force, the movie, has been rumored to happen,
right.
And especially with Deadpool and the appearance of Cable coming up. And, you know, but they did the same X-Men movie thing, where they make up their mutants anytime they want to make them up, and it's, you know, and we're supposed to be like, ooh, I like this new mutant. Nobody who's an X-Men fan is interested in your new mutant, Fox. There's hundreds of mutants that exist. Pick one. Pick any one of those. Like Richter, the special effect. You guys are a huge studio, and those are the special effects you use for Richter? I mean, they do better on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know?
Wow.
And granted, they're owned by Disney, but you're not that much smaller.
All right. So let's get to
In fact, they didn't even use Richter's backstory. They made him a clone of Avalanche.
Yeah. But they tease he's a clone of Avalanche. Oh, no, he was in the folder. Yeah, he was in the folder, yeah.
So, break it down to brass tacks. What would you give it? Where would you put it for you?
Two.
As an X-Men movie,
I think we should all guess what he would...
There's two different ratings
for this movie for me. And then, purely as not an X-Men movie, I'd give it like a 3 or 3.5.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But as a fan...
But as an X-Men fan, I don't even want to rate it. I can't keep allowing this crap. I just want them to reboot the X-Men already. Sell it to Disney, please.
Wow, that is insane. You think that's
going to get out of Fox's hands?
You
think that's awful with any comic movie?
I really think that if Deadpool. I think that if Marvel takes X-Men from Fox, that you're going to have the same problem.
No, I won't. I totally won't.
I think you're going to have.
I don't think that they will have costumes
because everybody pretends they read comics for all the political and undertones and all this.
That's why
it has nothing to do with the flashy costumes or the great art. It has all to do with this interesting story of political intrigue. No, that stuff grew into the comics. The reason kids started picking up the comics is because the fun costumes, they're jumping around, shooting lasers in the air, and flying.
That's why you like the Cooley Project.
Comics were for?
You have... Okay, can I say something? And it's going to... I don't... It almost sounds like... And I don't want to take it too serious, but it almost sounds like you kind of insulted the elegance of a comic book, because a comic book can be any stories. And when you debase it to be just about laser beams and people jumping around in comic books,
it's not just about that. But I'm saying that's the reason you pick it up. Otherwise, you're reading prose.
I don't know.
If that's all you care about is a story,
I don't think that's fair though.
There's other comic
not
books.
Not with the X-Men. Not if it's an X title. Okay?
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay, there you go.
Have you ever read a prose X book?
No, I know they're good. Because Chris Claremont is one of the writers who takes care of that kind of
stuff.
You
carry one, which is apparently good, Days of Future Past. This is a fantastic prose book.
I'm nothing against prose, but I'm saying I read comics. I like comics. I like comic books.
Wow.
Hey, guy.
Newsflash. I like comics.
Superheroes, but I mean, I thought that the original appeal of the X-Men book was that it was sort of this counterculture
underneath it all. But the reason anybody's picking up a comic book in that time period is not because I feel like an outsider.
Look, that guy's got spandex.
He's not wandering the streets so lonely because of society's mistreating him and he needs something to relate to. No, it's a kid who picks up the newspaper or the comic or whatever. And then the story is imbued upon him. He's not picking it up to get that story. The story comes with it.
I will agree with that in some respects, but I will say this though, and I've mentioned this 1,000 times on this show, but the Neil Adams and Denny O'Neill books with Green Arrow and Speedy about drug addiction were very powerful for me
Were those the first appearances of any of those characters?
Way later.
No, yeah, but I understand that. But I mean when I read those as a youth.
Totally missing my point though,
you're making it sound like that's the reason why you got hooked on that comic.
Okay.
Or why those characters mattered in the first place.
If that makes sense,
those things happening to those characters mattered. They didn't matter because they were happening, you know.
Okay.
It mattered because people cared about those characters because they're wearing costumes.
Interesting.
I think from the very beginning, that's what they wanted. That's what Stan Lee created the X-Men to be about, was to be like, oh, like these people have...
Yes, he's a writer. He has to fill in the guts of it. But the people who wrote and designed and, I mean, drew the actual characters and stuff... That's the skeleton on which they sit, but people don't... When you look at a cover of a comic, there is, you know, very little of the story that you're getting there.
But there's no art without the story, though.
The comic.
Right,
covers
I get that.
Sell the comic.
But there's no art without the story, though, right?
There you go, DJ. That's why I'm saying it's a skeleton on which all this art rests. You can't have the art without the story.
Right.
But nobody cares about the story without the art.
So let that be a lesson to you, DJ. Make sure that the art is fantastic, because my writing will be piss poor.
So, but, I mean, and I know where you're coming from, but I'm sort of playing devil's advocate, because mm-hmm. I think that...
Because you're a devil?
Because, no, he's an artist and a writer.
Well, because I think the comic books are a little bit...
of his luscious locks.
That's... I'm not saying that comics aren't nuanced or the stories aren't great or very important to society and everybody who read them, but nobody's paying attention to them because of the stories in the first place. They're paying attention to these stories. They're sneaking these in under all this fantastic framework.
Well, that's fair to say, because I've gotten comics like as a kid because, like, oh, that
character in outer space.
Pretty cool.
Oh, my God, what's going on? And then you hear all these heavy themes with freedom of, you know, Galactus and the Silver Surfer and servitude and you know, what is the meaning of life and existence. But that's not why you started reading Silver Surfer. You read it because he's a silver dude on a surfboard, and he looks awesome flying
through space. I understand where you're coming from on that. But, I mean, you got to see that the reason why...
But if you made a Silver Surfer movie about solitude and the Silver Surfer wasn't silver or surfed, you would be pretty miffed. You would be miffed.
But you have to admit, though, the reason
or
why...
Or a Silver Surfer movie where Galactus is a pink cloud. You would be upset about that.
But the whole point is
that... But they got the Fantastic Four costumes right.
Didn't get them right, by the way.
The reason why certain characters transcend the comic book industry, like Superman, like Batman,
Galactus.
Like those things, they
right?
transcend...
Transcending what they were in the comics.
They transcend...
By becoming pink clouds.
Right, they
transcend... Or even more recently with Marvel, Dormammu.
There you go.
No, but they transcend because of the stories that they tell. The overarching story about Superman being a Puritan hero, or Batman, he transcends it because of his plight and
but
where he came
Supermen
from.
But there were many Supermen before Superman. The reason he's an icon is because he's wearing a blue suit with red sigil and yellow, and it really mimics the American flag, and he gave pride to America in a time when they wanted it. That's what... If he wasn't wearing that costume, he would not be Superman.
I don't know.
It means hope.
But let me flip the script. But hold on. Let me flip the script on that. We just got a movie where Superman is wearing the costume, but everybody says that's not the character of Superman.
Yeah, it's true. It's a good point.
I mean, I kind of agree with him.
Good point.
But he is wearing the costume.
He's wearing the costume.
So sometimes it's not always the costume. Sometimes
I'm not saying it's
pure.
You guys are taking the words and twisting them so I can somehow be wrong. But what I'm saying is the costumes are important.
No.
They're very important. They're not the only thing about these characters,
the point I'm
but they're
make,
truly important.
But the point I'm trying to make, though, is that the comic book medium in and of itself is the marriage of those two things.
That's
of course,
what
I agree. But
the cover will attract you to read the book.
Right. So you're agreeing with me that costumes are... irreconcilably
in terms of drawing the eye,
everything
but,
else.
But what keeps you coming back to that book
is the good writing. Yeah, the story. I totally agree. I'm not saying that. I'm not arguing against that.
Okay. Why did he say Martha?
It means hope.
Martha means hope.
Martha means hope.
That's Batman's answer when he says, "Why did you say that name?" Batman goes, "It means hope."
All right, that's
the
name.
Put off my nards.
Martha means hope.
That's the name of the podcast.
Can we
right
talk
there.
About BVS now?
No. Listen,
let's talk about Suicide Squad.
How about that whole scene when Wonder Woman showed up and was like, "Is she with you?" And like, "Oh, I thought she was with you."
We're talking about Superman over here, but Facebook Live is going off on my Silver Surfer rap.
Are they really?
So you guys, I should have just mic dropped. Right.
You should have. Yes. Okay, don't do that.
That was too loud.
We're still making payments on the equipment.
Yeah. Anyway,
I think, but I to go back to that.
Really quickly, wrap it up. Real quick.
Yeah, there aren't like.
Todd's gonna have the last word.
No, that's not.
Yeah.
Oh man.
No, wrap it up. Right. Go ahead, quick. Hurry up.
Yeah, wrap it up. Do you got some mad lyrics about the Silver Surfer?
Yeah. Right.
Put out some bars.
So, I just want to. I mean, just really quickly. Like, I don't know anybody that is following a particular artist on a book because
I'm following you.
Well, because there aren't artists
like
get rotated out now,
right?
They don't want to create another.
People still look for particular artists,
but
though.
Yeah, but they don't want to. But Marvel and DC are really scared about creating a particular environment where image
the
could,
artist becomes associated
yeah,
with
image
the character.
Can, image could happen again.
Interesting.
So,
but
so,
that's totally besides any point that was being
no,
made.
But the writing. Bendis is always going to work for Marvel. Bendis is a big name. People follow.
Well, that's
Bendis.
Why I call the story the skeleton.
But that,
you can't swap out a big
what I'm saying
weird
is,
bone with a skinny skeleton dude. You got to have one guy writing your continuity.
But what I'm saying is,
laced in Adam
and that's Matthew. Why the X-Men were incredible because Chris Claremont wrote the entire continuity.
But right, well, like more people are following writers right now. Like I'm reading Paper Girls because Brian K. Vaughan is writing it, not because of the artist that is drawing it.
So you don't like the artist.
Not particularly.
Yeah, but now you're just getting into the general of the comic medium. I'm talking about the X-Men specifically. That was everything I was talking about. I'm not talking about independent comics, about things that aren't superhero-related. I'm not talking about slice-of-life crap. I'm talking about the X-Men.
But you didn't talk about...
I said the Fantastic Four and Silver Surfer is the same thing. Costume superhero.
But you didn't talk about the way that Jim Lee drew Wolverine. You talked about the way Chris Claremont wrote the X-Men. You know what I mean?
I'm not saying that the writers aren't important. You're like trying to make me wrong somehow.
I'm not saying
everything I'm saying is coherent.
No, I'm just saying that
it
like,
makes sense.
I'm just saying that the story is important.
I know the story is important. What are you arguing with me for?
Because what you're saying
what you're saying is that the look of the character is paramount to the story.
I'm saying people read the comics because of what it looks like.
You're not saying the look, but you're saying you're reading the comics because of what it looks like.
Because you're trying to tie me into it to say that the art matters and the story doesn't, and that's not what I'm saying.
When
you're reading something, how it's written matters. The reason you pick it up, you're not going to... I mean, if you want to read just words, there's books. You know what I mean? The art also matters.
Okay.
The art is important.
All right.
And the X-Men completely threw that half of it away when they started their movie franchise.
Man, this is a big debate. Listen, we have got to get out of here. I can't even believe it.
Do we have to?
We have to keep going. We have to wrap up this portion of the show.
Why do we have to stop?
But also, the writing sucked in the Fox movie, so they threw all of it away.
Anyway.
Flight suits mean hope.
Yeah. Flight suits mean hope. Maybe that's the name of the show.
That was done.
Anyway, this has been the Nerd Watch podcast. Time for us to get out of here. Of course,
we're going to start again.
Oh, my God, really?
Just a little bit.
You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/NerdWatch.
Yeah,
you can follow
us
on
fans.
Twitter at NerdWatch Nation. You can follow us on...
I don't
even
remember what we were supposed to talk about today.
I just want to do a quick Logan interview thing, and Todd started arguing with me.
That's not true. You kept asking him. I had nothing. Oh, come on. Why am I... I'm totally just keep going.
And I was like, Power Rangers, and then everything.
All right, well, listen.
And Todd, we trust.
Let's all reset, because I got to get us out of here. Please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/NerdWatch. Follow us on YouTube at NerdWatch Nation. You can follow us on Instagram at @_NerdWatch. You can follow us on NerdWatch Nation at Twitter and on YouTube as well. And, of course, you can actually donate to the podcast at www.patreon.com/TheNerdWatch. We'll be back next week. We're going to be talking about more new movies.
And how important it is.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking. We're arguing comic books next week again. We will possibly take another few minutes here to talk about Kong Skull Island.
Underwood.
We'll talk about the things that
Chris
we didn't
is
think
saying. We all need blood pressure.
Yeah. So
DJ's chanting for a Magnum.
Yeah. So listen. So stay tuned because there will be more coming up very shortly. But for now, Akaku, we're saying goodbye. YouTube, we're saying goodbye.
Bye, Akaku.
So until next week, peace out. Much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And for Todd, for Gannon, for Format, and Alika, myself, G-Money, we're out of time, and we say to you guys,
Aloha!